Matthew chapter 26, verses 1 to 13. Anointing for burial is the title of our sermon. The parallel text is found in Mark chapter 14 and John chapter 12. Jesus had spoken at length at the Mount of Olives concerning his second coming in Matthew 24 and 25. And we concluded last week with the dramatic scene of reward and punishment that is related to the caring of the people around us, especially the needy. And we thank God for showing us how to have heavenly rewards accumulated while we live life upon this earth. Here at the beginning of Matthew 26, Jesus is giving us the testimony of this woman who performed an act of consecration upon him with precious ointment. He anointed our Lord Jesus Christ for his burial. What great reverence and love she demonstrated towards Jesus, from whom she received the eternal benefit of the salvation of our soul. Is anything too great to give to our Lord for what he has done for us to save us? For this woman, John chapter 12 tells us she's named Mary, that it is not too costly to bestow upon our Lord such honor. And there, murmuring and complaining, was Judas Iscariot, the disciple who betrayed our Lord Jesus Christ, who called it, this anointing of our Lord, a waste. There's a lesson, spiritual lesson, that the Lord wants us to learn here. If you want to do anything good for somebody in the name of the Lord, do so when the person is alive, as a consecration, as unto the Lord. Do it before it's too late. Do it so that you would know that you have done your best for the Lord. What waste can we call it when we see the perspective that it was a burial that conquered the grief? Do you see that? You see, Jesus' life was lived in the 33 and a half years for this one crucial moment when he would be nailed to the cross and that he would die, that the sting of death be overcome by the praise of victory when he would rose from the dead. Three thoughts for us today. The setting, verses 1 to 6. The service, verse 7. The sacrifice, verse 8 to 13. The setting, verses 1 to 6. And it came to pass, when Jesus had finished all these sayings, he said unto his disciples, ye know that after 2 days is the feast of the Passover And the Son of Man is betrayed to be crucified. Jesus is reminding his disciples of his impending death. This is the Tuesday of the week when Jesus would be crucified on Friday, and he would rise from the dead on the Lord's Day. And the Lord wants us to see and follow him concerning the momentous events culminating in that victory that he gave to all mankind when he bore our sins upon the cross. And so he tells them, "Ye know that after 2 days is the feast of the Passover." When is the feast of the Passover? Well, in the Jewish calendar, it is in the first month, the month Abib. And in our calendar, it is between end April or end March to early April, that period of time. And it commemorates the beginning of the deliverance that was wrought by God through Moses when he delivered them from Egypt. Exodus chapter 12 is the text in which this took place. Exodus chapter 12 and verse 1 says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel. In the 10th day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house." This lamb would be a precursor for the people of Israel, to point them to the coming of the Messiah, who would die on the cross as the sacrificial Passover lamb to wash away their sins. And verse 4 of chapter 12 says, "And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish." Well, this is a picture of Christ, the Son of God. He came as the sinless Son of God. In 2 weeks' time, we would remember our Lord's birth, how he came, how he was conceived by the Holy Ghost in the womb of the Virgin Mary. Mary had not known any man. He was conceived of the Holy Ghost. Jesus is born not of the seed of men, but the seed of the woman without sin. He is that unblemished lamb. Every man, according to his eating, shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be unblemished, a male of the first year, and ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats. And he shall keep it up until the 14th day of the month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening, and you shall take the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door of the post of the houses wherein they shall eat of it." And it says in verse 11, And thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover, for I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. Against the gods of Egypt will I execute the judgment. I am the Lord, and the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I shall smite the land of Egypt. And this day shall be unto you a memorial, and ye shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. Ye shall keep it for a feast by an ordinance forever. And that's what our Lord did every year. Before he was of age, his parents would bring him for this Passover feast. And now, when he's of age, he would come to Jerusalem for the Passover feast. And he tells us that during this particular Passover feast, he would be betrayed to be crucified. And exactly after he said these words, verse 3 tells us, then assembled together with the chief priests and the scribes and the elders of the people unto the palace of the high priest, who was called Caiaphas. Who is Caiaphas? Well, Caiaphas was the high priest. And the name Caiaphas is an interesting name. It means basket, right? And it is a family name. Josephus had written that the name of Caiaphas was Joseph Caiaphas, right? And from that family of priest, right? And it's interesting that archaeologist has found the grave of Caiaphas. And this ossuary, there were about 12 of them that were found. It is a box about this size, this length, about this height, whereby the bones are placed inside and inscribed. There is the name Joseph Caiaphas. And with it, in that burial plot that they found in Jerusalem, was the remains of the Caiaphas clan. So this was a true person, Caiaphas. And he was the one who, together with the others, the scribes, the elders of the people, the chief priest, consulted, verse 4 tells us, that they might take Jesus by subtlety and killed him. So there is this plot that is hatched, that is behind the whole scheme that would put Christ upon the cross, not knowing that this whole scheme would fulfill the will of God in the redemption of mankind. And verse 5 says, but they said, not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar among the people. Ah. And so they even plotted and planned. They considered the sentiments of the people, because they thought that their plan must succeed, and they don't want any interference, anything that would cause their plan to be thwarted, because Jesus claimed that he is the King of the Jews. Jesus claimed that he is the priest of priests. And indeed, he came, well, up to now, as the great prophet of God. proclaiming his messiahship, teaching the people the way to God. And now, he would do the act of a personal sacrifice in order to bring us nigh unto God. This is the setting that is before us, the plot that was going on. Imagine the Son of Man, God Himself, appearing before us to save us. And men would do such a heinous thing to reject their Messiah. Verse 6 says, now when Jesus was in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper. Well, this is the scene before us. Our Lord visited Bethany after he has left the Mount of Olives. And the place of Bethany is just off Jerusalem. And he came to the house of this man, Simon the leper. It's interesting, this man is called Simon the leper. Well, obviously, he's no longer a leper. If not, he would have to be ostracized, right? To the community, out of the community. But Jesus has healed him of his leprosy. It is interesting that I was reading the testimony of a Reverend Goh. He was the first Methodist pastor in Singapore. And he, in his testimony, wrote, it was a biography that was written many years ago, I think about 1969, the time of his departing. And he contracted leprosy because in Singapore, there were, at that time, this leper colony. But he said, he testified that he went to India and he was healed of his leprosy. And he came back, continue his ministry. This was Simon the leper who was healed of his leprosy. And in gratefulness to the Lord, he came and he invited our Lord to his home to show hospitality to the Lord. And this is our first thought, the setting. So it is a home setting, right? A home setting. And we see the picture, right, that in a few days' time, our Lord would be betrayed and would have to go to the cross. This is the Tuesday of the Friday. Right? And I want us to see in verse 7 the service that a particular woman came to minister to our Lord. John chapter 12, verse 3 tells us. Then took Mary a pound of ointment, spikenard, very costly, and anointed the Lord's feet and wiped his feet with his hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then said one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? Well, the service of this woman is special because she came in order to anoint, to prepare our Lord for his burial. And you know that when our Lord was crucified, he was crucified with two thieves. And you know that after he was crucified, after he died, There was no description of his anointing, right? But it was described that Joseph of Arimathea, the man who was a high-level official in the Sanhedrin Council, came, right? Instead of being a secret Christian, he was bold enough to go to the high priest to ask for the body of the Lord Jesus. And there they took him and they cleaned the body and they brought spices and they wrapped him up. Here in this scene before us, the Lord is showing us, preparing us for this time when our Lord would be dedicated, he said consecrated by death. And you know, the crucifixion of our Lord is a humiliating thing. To be crucified with two thieves, only the most wanted criminals are hanged on this in this way. But as you think of it, you think about what he was doing on the cross. He was to take the sins of men and women, yours and my sins, upon the cross. We are the criminals. We have transgressed the law of God. And he would be taking upon him our sins. And what this woman did was to prepare for that burial. Mark 14 verse 3 says, "And being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment spikenard, very precious, and she brake the box and poured it on his head." You see, this ointment is being used, right? It comes in a jar, and when you have special guests invited to your house, right, you take a few drops of this ointment and anoint the head of your special guest so that there would be a fragrance, right, that flows around the table. Right? It's an act of hospitality, of honoring your guest. And this woman was honoring our Lord, who is the special guest that is preparing himself for the great act of going to the cross to die for our sins. And so this is a service that she did so with love, with devotion, with consecration. You know, this ointment costs 300 denarii. How much is that? Well, a denarii is a day's wage. So 300 denarii is a year of a worker's wages during that time. And so it's not a small amount, right? It costs tens of thousands of dollars, this ointment. And our text tells us that she would break the bottle and she would take it and anoint our Lord with it. Verse 7. "And there came unto him a woman having an alabaster box of very precious ointment, and poured it on his head as he sat at meat. That is the act of consecration that was done upon our Lord. And verse 8 to verse 13. The sacrifice. This service may seem inappropriate for some. Say, why do you do this? Is it not an overkill? You wasted so much money upon this. You can feed how many poor persons with that amount? Right, verse 8 of our text says, but when the disciples saw it, they had indignation. They were not happy, saying, to what purpose is this waste? For this ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor. Then Jesus understood it, and Jesus said unto them, why trouble ye the woman? For she hath wrought a good work upon me. This third thought, I want us to think in two ways. The sacrifice that the woman did for our Lord, in the name of our Lord, and the sacrifice, our Lord Himself, who would be going upon the cross to be the unblemished lamb that would die for our sins. The sacrifice. For in that she had poured this ointment on my body, she did it for my burial. Our Lord tells us that she did so as a devotion, demonstrating His love for the Lord. And we can learn something here, isn't it? You recall last Lord's Day, we were studying the rewards that God would give to His people, and we said, for I was hungered, the Lord says, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then the righteous said unto him, Lord, when saw we thee, and hungered, and fed thee, and thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee, a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the Lord said, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Matthew 25, verse 40. This was what the woman was doing, consecrating, anointing our Lord to prepare Him for the greatest act, the greatest work that no man can do, only the Son of God could do. She did it in consecration, in devotion. And the Lord wants us to see and understand that it was a sacrifice. This service that she did for the Lord, it cost her something. And the Lord wants us to see and know that if you would remember what this woman had done, verse 12 of our text says, for in that she hath poured this ointment on my body, and she did it for my burial. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached in the world, there shall also this that this woman hath done be told for a memorial of her. This is a description of what she had done. that it be remembered for the good work that she had done. To our Lord, it was only at that moment, that appropriate moment. If she missed that opportunity, she would have missed it forever. Just as it is for us. The Lord may cause you to serve Him in one way or another in His vineyard to the people of God. And we do so when we serve God's people as unto the Lord. And it causes us to think, isn't it? As you remember the good work that this woman had done, to think as an application for us when we still have breath and when we still have life. Is there something that you want to do for somebody? It could be your own parents. It could be somebody that you know, your own children. Something that you want to do, your colleague in the workplace. Something that you want to do for that person. You know that if you miss that opportunity, you may not be able to do so again. And He wants you to do so with love, with devotion, and be willing to spend your time, to use your resources, to make a sacrifice, to make a difference in the life of that person. May the Lord help us as we think concerning this text, how our Lord was anointed for burial by this woman, to remember the service that she did for our Lord and the sacrifice that she did. May the Lord help us to remember that spirit of love and consecration that is so marvelously demonstrated, that we may emulate it in our lives. And may the Lord also say to us, this you have done as a memorial for what you could or what you did for that person who is no longer here with us. And nothing more you can do. May God help us. Let us pray. Father, we want to thank Thee for helping us to see and understand this story of consecration and love, of service and sacrifice. O Lord, we want to thank Thee for the testimony of this woman, and we want to us that we may learn this devotion that she had in the service of the Lord, that nothing is too costly to sacrifice for the Lord's sake. O Lord, may Thou give us that spirit, and may Thou help us to show love, kindness to someone in our life, that it would make a difference to that person. This I ask and pray with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen.